Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Block Hash Podcast, episode 385. Today, with the co-founder and a lawyer at Lexify, Alberto Bori, to talk about crypto in a legal context in Switzerland, as well as what they do with some of their clients within the crypto space. This will be a fun legal episode, a different direction, I think, for most of you in the audience. So, Alberto, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you today. How are you doing?
Hi, Brandon. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's my pleasure to be here with you today, and I'm fine. So let's start with this episode about legal and regulatory framework on blockchain topics.
Before we dive into Lexify, would love to learn a bit more about yourself, if you don't mind sharing a bit about your background, your personal story, maybe how you got into Web3 or what maybe some inspiration was there before you got to Lexify.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a lawyer. So after the master's degrees in law, I started my career working in PwC. That is a quite big four company. And I was working in the legal department, and in particular in the banking and financial legal departments. Then I was working with the big banks and big investment funds. But since 5-6 years ago, I started my passions and my interest in the blockchain fields. And so I did my studies on also blockchain regulation, that at the time was something quite new, and also the different regulatory frameworks in the world were not ready to these new technologies. And then I spent 2 years in PwC, where I was also working and manage all the blockchain projects. And then I decided to move here in Switzerland, where I'm still now, because Switzerland is one of the most advanced countries in the world concerning regulatory aspect of blockchain. And so I moved here in Switzerland before working in Lexify from Switzerland. And then we decided to open Lexify, that is a law boutique specialized on blockchain regulatory aspects. So we work mainly in the blockchain fields and the blockchain world, and also still a little bit on the classic and traditional financial regulation aspects.
When did you guys decide to start Lexify? What was the initial starting point there?
Yeah, the starting point was to have a more specialized and unique trademark, so also the name of the law firm and so on, that was, you know, giving to the clients the idea that we are something more than lawyers. So in Lexify, we are more than lawyers because we do innovation. We help our clients to build new projects on this new world, that is the blockchain and the crypto space. And so we decided to open a new company, just focus on this aspect. And so, yes, we decided to do that. And now we are happy of Lexify, that is growing. And we help our clients every day.
I was going through your guys' website and kind of looking into some of the services you offer a little bit more in detail. And I came across something called legal design, legal AI, legal tech. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on some of those and maybe what other services you guys are offering to clients?
Yeah, sure. The point is that we try to bring the digitalization process and innovation also in the legal sector. Usually, you know, lawyers are a little bit connected to the old kind of work and the old way to work also. So, you know, agreements of 25, 30 pages, legal opinion, quite complex in the way that that are written by the lawyers. We don't share this kind of way to work. So we like to do things that are clear, simple, and 100% safe for our clients. And this is what is legal design. So legal design means to bring to change something that is very difficult in something easy to understand for the clients, and at the same time that is safe from a legal perspective to the interest of our clients. So is to bring new technologies, new way also to write contents, documents, opinion, and so on, to bring everything more, you know, smarter and also in a quick way faster than the traditional way that usually lawyers are used to work. And in these days, also with the artificial intelligence and so on, we are trying to introduce some of these tools in our nowadays life. It's quite difficult for lawyers, honestly, at this moment to use, for example, the AI tool to do our job, because it's quite complex to give also some questions, legal questions to the tools. But yes, these tools can also help us in our now daily business activities and so on. And at the end, in Lexify, as I was saying before, we offer legal support on crypto, blockchain, and fintech projects. So what we like to do is to follow our clients from the scratch to the end of the project. So we follow our clients on 360 degrees needed from a legal perspective, from a business perspective. We help our clients to find partners if they need some tech guys to develop something, if they need some partners to try to sell their idea, if they're looking to VC or something else. That's why we like to... We also used to say that we are more than lawyers, because we don't just work on the agreements or the opinion and so on, but we follow our clients on 360 degrees approach.
Would you say that you work primarily with Web3 companies and startups, or do you also work with Web2 companies and startups that are looking to get into this space?
I can say that right now we are working for 65-70% with Web3 companies. So we work with projects that are related to issuance of token, decentralized autonomous organization, DeFi projects, and much more, many more projects that are related to the Web3 world. Then, of course, on Web2, something, of course, we also have some clients that are active in the Web2. But yes, right now we can say that we are almost active, 70% on these new projects that are very interesting. So, and we follow the clients, for example, on the token issuance. We follow the clients on the legal qualification of the token. That is very, very important. We help the clients with the simple agreement for future token in the pre-sale phase. Then we help the clients in setting up the platform, the term and condition, the anti-money laundering, and many more aspects that we follow from a legal perspective.
Give me an idea of what it's like in terms of a legal framework in Switzerland, because I know Switzerland's very friendly towards blockchain and towards crypto. They have been since the very beginning. But I think most people still, even in the US where I'm based and where a lot of the audience I have is based, they don't get to hear enough, I think, about what Switzerland's doing to kind of help encourage more startups within the country and maybe some of the initiatives that are put in place to nurture young crypto companies and Web3 startups. So what's it kind of like in Switzerland? What things are kind of in place? What are some of the laws? Can you give us a little bit of an overview of the environment there?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. The point is that Switzerland has been, I think, the first country in the world to regulate blockchain activities. Since 2017, FIMA, that is the Swiss Federal Authority for Markets Activities, issue a guidelines on the qualification of token. If you think that was almost 7 years ago, and on the blockchain field is quite a long time, and was the first authority in Europe for sure to issue comprehensive guidelines on the qualification of token. So the big advantage of Switzerland is the regulatory and law clarity. So if you came in Switzerland, you are able to understand what is the law that will apply to what you do. And I know that in the US is something different. It's quite difficult to also understand the SEC, how classified token and so on, because the big problems nowadays is to avoid or be able to understand when your token fall under the category of securities. Because if the token is a security, you will have a lot of more regulatory aspects and procedures that you must be compliant with. The other big advantage of Switzerland is the possibility to speak with the authority. As I was saying before, FINMA is very, mind open mind approach. So the authority is the first one that check and still watch at the market, the different landscape of the project and what is happening new on the markets. And the advantage, as I was saying before, is that if you open a project here in Switzerland, you came to us, we write a no action letter to FINMA, and we can present your project to the authority, and the authority will reply to us. This is something almost unique in Europe and the different approach with the regulators. And that's give to the entrepreneur and so to the people that spend money, efforts, resources, and so on to a project to have also a regulatory clarity and a response by the authority. And in Switzerland, it's also quite respect the principle of technological neutrality. So in 2021, the national parliament, the Swiss parliament, so the confederation, issued a law on the implementing of the blockchain technologies in the financial markets. So in Switzerland, the government says that if you have a bond or a stocks, and you issue these stocks or shares of a company and so on a blockchain, so on DLT register, this should be treated in the same way that the traditional stocks, shares, and so on are treated. And that's nice because, you know, it's not easy to find a place, a country where you have this kind of clarity on the regulation.
Yeah, 100%. It's difficult to find that these days, albeit there's more countries now. They're starting to catch up to Switzerland since it's been one of the first to really adopt good regulations around it. What about the rest of Europe in comparison to Switzerland? Are there other countries that stand out that maybe are similar in terms of being friendly hubs for Web3 innovation, just like Switzerland is, or does Switzerland kind of stand above all at the moment?
I think that Switzerland is quite unique in the European landscape. The big news is the MiCA regulation. I don't know if you heard about that, but yes. 2024 will be the regulatory year in Europe for the blockchain projects because from the half of this year, so from June, and then from the end of the year, all the MiCA regulation will be applicable in Europe. So Europe issue a comprehensive regulatory framework for blockchain activities that will be applicable in all the European member states. Switzerland is something different. Switzerland is not in the UE, so Switzerland will still go with his own regulatory framework, but Europe now starts with also clear regulation. Because before the MiCA, all the different European countries had different regulation. Of course, the only common law that was applicable in all the European Union was the Anti-Money Laundering Directive that was already applicable since 2019 to the crypto projects. But for the other aspects, all the different European countries having this different regulatory framework. So MiCA is quite comprehensive and I think might be and I think a good regulation, because they classify the token, so they give you a taxonomy of the token, and then they also rules the offer of crypto assets services to the users. And we will see how the different European national authority of the member state will apply the regulation with the different, I think, small differences. And we will work for that. But comparing again to the US, also the UE started to issue a nice regulatory framework to try to attract also the blockchain project. But as I was saying before, in Switzerland, you can speak with authority. In Europe, is a little bit more difficult. In Lexify, we follow the clients in Europe and in Switzerland as well. So we also work a lot with MiCA, with the European regulation. But we will see. MiCA is a new one, and we will see how the market will adapt to this new regulatory framework. It is around 150 pages, so it's quite heavy.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out here in 2024. I've been watching that since the past year, so we'll see for sure. Tell me about you mentioned a Plan B hub earlier before we jumped on the show that's in Lugano. And it sounds very interesting in terms of attracting, again, that Web3 innovation within Lugano in Switzerland. Is that something that's brand new and relative specifically to Lugano, or is that happening across Switzerland more frequently? Or just tell me about the whole thing. I'm curious.
Yeah, no, that's something specific in Lugano. So just in the city of Lugano, a couple of years ago, the city, the municipality of Lugano issued the Plan B. Plan B is an initiative of the city in collaboration with Tether to try to implement the blockchain technologies in the city. So Tether and the city of Lugano start to implement the possibility to make transaction in crypto in the restaurants, in shops, in many, many, many different merchants around the city. So when I go for lunch or when I go for dinner, I can pay with the Luga tokens. The Luga token is a stable coin issued by the city of Lugano that is pegged to the Swiss francs. And so I can go to buy for lunch or to buy clothes and so on, paying in Luga, and all the people that use the stablecoin receive also 10% discount on the total amount that they purchase. So that's quite interesting. But the most important thing is that Lugano is becoming a very important blockchain hub in Europe and in the world, because as I was saying to you before, yesterday the Plan B hub has been open, so it will be open in the next month, but we were there for the first meeting and then the Plan B hub. So the city and Tether build this incredible building in the city center of Lugano, where all the blockchain startups, projects and so on could go there, have a desk, work there, and it will be a little bit also the physical house of this project. And all the developers and people that like to work in the fields are here in Lugano, or they are moving here because of, again, Switzerland is a safe country. Lugano is very nice on the lake, good weather. You have very good food. And this is also something important. If you have to move living in some other place than your regional one. And so there are a lot of activities. We have the Plan B Forum in October. It's one of the most important events in the crypto world in Europe, or even in the world, maybe. And many people from all over the world came to the events, and there are a lot of activities. This evening I have another event on blockchain. So there are a lot of things that are moving here in Lugano.
Do people actually pay for things in Switzerland in crypto? Is that a normal thing?
Yeah, it's in Lugano, yes. So in Lugano you can also buy a house in crypto. So you can go buy your house paying Bitcoin, Ethereum, or, you know, stable coin. Yes, that's something that you can do. And I will just give you this example. In Switzerland, you can establish a company on the Register of Commerce with crypto. So you are not, if you don't have cash, for example, if you don't have 100,000 Swiss franc in cash, but you have crypto, you can use the crypto to create your company. You can understand this is something quite very innovative for a country. And people are paying in crypto. I went for lunch and I pay in crypto. You can use crypto in the transaction. And crypto in Switzerland, also from a tax perspective, are equivalent to fiat. So in Lexify, my clients can pay us in crypto, and I will receive the crypto on the company ledgers, and the tax accountant will just treat the crypto as Swiss francs. So that's also easy to manage this kind of transaction and flows.
I wish it was like that in the US. And it's fun to spend crypto. Like I hold most of my net worth in crypto anyways, and it'd be cool to be able to go to a coffee shop and buy a coffee with Bitcoin and buy some clothes with Bitcoin, go to the mall with Bitcoin. I think it's going to take more time for that to become a bit more normalized across the world, but maybe there's a hope for that in Europe with Mika getting enforced. Maybe there'll be more like-minded thought, like in Switzerland, happening across Europe. That'd be really fun to see and to attract tourism and to create a new economy there.
Yeah, I agree with you. The point is also the tax perspective. MiCA is not going to regulate the tax perspective. So, for example, in some European countries, there is taxation on cryptos almost to 26% on the different capital gains and so on. So we need also to see how the European member states will adjust the taxation point of view to the transaction in crypto. But usually the stable coin should be equivalent to the fiat currencies. But I agree for you. Here in Switzerland, you can go to buy your coffee paying crypto. And this is something normal for us here.
In terms of other services and things that you guys maybe work on or consult on for clients, what can some of those things include? Tokenization, digital assets, what does the scope look like for you guys? I think that you focus on maybe the most.
We follow the clients 360 degrees. So when one of our clients has an idea, he comes to us and we work with him. We do a legal workshop where we touch all the aspects of the regulatory framework and we suggest to our clients maybe how to do something and how to change maybe some aspect of the projects. So we follow from the establishment of the company to the authorization with the authority to the legal setup of the platform. So terms and conditions, privacy policy, agreement for the selling of the token, and so on. Legal opinion, if they need legal opinion for the banks or for the investors and so on. Now, in this moment, we are very active in the tokenization of real assets. We also wrote a very interesting article. You can find that on Lexify LinkedIn page. And we work also with FINMA. So we did many projects working on the legal aspect of tokenization of a real asset. Because we are able right now with a legal framework and a legal setup of the project to issue token that represent the ownership of an underlying asset. And this is interesting because, could give the opportunity to more people to buy assets that before was just open to just a few for maybe the cost, the price of that the products, and we are very active on that. Of course, then we also work a lot with compliance, anti-money laundering, because it is one of the regulation that apply in most of the cases for crypto and blockchain project. If we are talking about tokens and so on, I am anti-money laundering officer for different companies active in the blockchain field. But yes, we follow also other projects like digital identity, use of the blockchain in the certification of the some products of companies, and many more. So that's a little bit the situation.
Alberto, if someone wants to get in contact with you guys at Lexify, where would you direct them?
You can go, if you're interested, on my LinkedIn page. Under my name, there is the possibility to book a 33 minutes call with me. And we can just catch up together and discuss if you have any idea or if you need legal assistance about blockchain or regulatory aspects.
And then do you also focus primarily on clients in Switzerland or in Europe, or do you take clients internationally as well?
Now, we work with clients from all over the world, but we are specializing in Switzerland and Europe. The last news is that we are opening also in Dubai. So we are also active in Dubai because it's becoming an interesting blockchain up there. But yes, we are not, for example, active on the US markets because US is a little bit different also from the regulatory framework. But yes, we assist our clients in Switzerland, European Union, and Dubai.
Alberto, thank you for taking the time to come on the show today. It's been a really great episode learning about the legal frameworks in Switzerland, some of the things that you guys work on, what to look forward to in Europe this year, and the services that you guys offer to clients. So it's been a really good, formative episode, and thank you for taking the time to share with everybody.
Thank you, Brandon. It's been my pleasure to be here with you.